Lesson for this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. This is not a gospel lesson, so you may remain seated, but pay close attention and hear now the word of God. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to you this has been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Do you like movies? The new movies? Which new movies are your favorite one? Hidden Figures was a great one. Who said that? Yes, that was a great one. There's some movies that you ought to not watch at home on your TV. You need to go to the big screen and have the surround sound and a bucket of popcorn and friends to share it with. There's just some, like Hacksaw Ridge. Got to see it on the big screen. By the way, Mike's dad was at Hacksaw Ridge when it was actually fought. So what other new movie have you seen that you really love? Rogue One, Star Wars. I'm with you, Chip. Me and you always like the Star Wars movie. They got some weird people in Star Wars. But when you open your closet door at home, you never see them in there, do you? I want one of those little, what you call those little things? Groots? Groot. Yeah, I want one of those Groots. I want to open my closet doors and little baby Groot be in there. I think it would just be the most fun. I'd take him with me everywhere I went. I think that would be great fun. Any other movies? What? Hidden Figures. Hidden Figures. There's another vote for Hidden Figures. What? Zookeeper's Wife. That's a great movie. Was a great book. How about Beauty and the Beast? I thought that was a great movie. What, Madeline? Who? Oh, yeah? I missed it. It was good. I hear all these people saying it was good. You get a lot of votes on that. How about who's seen The Shack? One, The Shack. Well, now, The Shack is a good movie, but don't think it is theologically correct, because mysteries are made to be mysteries, and you've got to accept the mysterious. You can't solve the puzzle. It's not solvable. It'll never be solvable. Our minds are too little for it to be solvable, and so you can't take that as the gospel. It'll give you a little bit of an idea of what it might be, explanation of this mystery, but that's only what it might be. And so now comes the newest, and it's called Guardians of the Galaxy. How many people will pay money to go see that? I will too. I love those movies. Once you get it figured out. I wanted to preach about it today because I wanted to use that piece with the children. And then I thought, well, I might as well use it with the adults too. But I didn't understand what it was all about. Have you got it? No? Well, if you look it up on Google, you will get this many pages of what that movie is about. This many pages. And so I read about the plot. I'm going to tell you, so when you go, you'll know what it's about. You ready? In 2014, Peter Quill, Gamora, Drax, Rocket, and Baby Groot are renowned as the Guardians of the Galaxy after successfully defending Xandar from Ronan the Accuser. Aisha, leader of the Sovereign Race, has the Guardians protect valuable batteries from an interdimensional monster in exchange for Gamora's estranged sister, Nebula, who was caught attempting to steal the batteries. After Rocket steals some for himself, the Sovereign attacks the Guardian's ship with a fleet of drones. The drones are destroyed by a mysterious figure, but the Guardians are forced to crash land on a nearby planet. The figure reveals himself as Quill's father, Ego, who invites Quill and the other Guardians to his home planet. You got it? Okay, it makes just about as much clarity and understanding as this. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you're enduring pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. What? For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. I think this is about forgiveness and about how God forgives us and how he endured for us and how nothing can happen to us that hasn't happened to him and how we ought to handle ourselves. But here's the part I like the best that makes perfect sense. Are you ready? For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. I got to thinking about the word guardian. What does the word guardian mean? And I told Cam Wilson, Donald had already gone, I told Cam Wilson, I always give Webster's Collegiate Dictionaries to graduating seniors to take to college for them. But here's what I learned about 6 years ago. Nobody uses dictionaries anymore. They go to the internet, type in the word, and all these grand definitions come up. And so they don't need to lug around a big dictionary. I think that's a good thing. But it also, I also still hold on to my dictionary. There's something about a book. So they get a different book now, not a Webster's dictionary. But I wanted to know what the word guardian really meant. And so I went to Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. And I looked it up, and this is what it says. It is a person with the authority and duty to care for the interest of another. That's what it says. It is a person with authority and duty to care for the interest of another. Your parents are your guardians. They are people with authority to look after your best interest, whether you like it or not. And the day will come when you will become their guardian. And neither one of you will like it. But for right now, they are the person with authority to look after your best interest. You got it? Okay, you shouldn't have any more trouble with them. They got it. Little Gray's parents are his guardians. And did you hear them take vows this morning concerning him? They said, this we're going to do. He is our responsibility. We're going to be good guardians. We're going to teach him right from wrong. We're going to resist evil in whatever forms it presents itself. We're going to raise him right. Now they got to go do it. Because guardians are people with authority who have the best interest of the one over which they guard in their hearts and in their minds. Guardians. Now, let's go back to the movies. Alexis.
Types of beings in the universe. Those who dance and those who do not.
I get it, yes. I am a dancer, Gamora is not.
You just need to find a woman who is pathetic. Like you.
Thanks, buddy.
Do you need a hug?
No. No, I do not.
Oh, I thought I said no. You're welcome.
Guardians of the galaxies. These heroes, as weird as they are not really guardians of the galaxies. They are guarding batteries. It's part of the plot. They are not real. All of this is fiction. Not a bit of this is true. Some of these characters are part celestial and part human. None of them are real. Chris Pratt is real, but Peter Quill is not. Zoe Salander is real, but her character Gamora is not. Baby, what's his name?
Groot.
Baby Groot is not real at all. He's just not. I wish he was in my closet, but he's not real, and neither is Rocket. This text is not fun like this movie. It is a hard text. It's a hard text to hear. It's a hard text to live. It is about a forgiveness of people who have been abusive to you when you didn't deserve it. It is no fun. I could spend hours talking to you about a cycle of abuse, about children who were abused by parents and now they are abusers. But I'm telling you, if you sin, it is your choice. You cannot lay it on your parents. You cannot lay it on the way you were raised. You cannot lay it on a cycle. If you choose to sin, it is on you. I don't know another way to say it. That is the truth. This text talks about suffering and encourages us to endure all things without retaliations. It talks to us about Jesus suffering for us. It talks to us about life being fair. And in case you haven't realized that yet, young people, life is not fair. It never has been. It will never be. And that's not fair doesn't cut it. Coach John Smith was his name, and he told me that when he gave a pop final exam, and I had an A that immediately went to a B, and I said, that's not fair. And he taught me this lesson. Life is not fair, he said. And I believed him. And it has helped me every day of my life, and that's the best B I ever got. Life is not fair. It talks, this text, about entrusting ourselves to God as Christ did, and it talks about Jesus dying for us and taking our sins on himself. And you need to hear, listen to the sound of this, because I love it, and because it's truth, and because it'll change your life. You were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. What it says to us is that God will never give up on us. I like that. I like thinking I have a guardian of my soul, and even when I don't listen to him, even when I pay no attention to him, there is no magic, no pretend, no physical fighting, no special effects, no chaos, no fictions in this story. It is true that Christ Jesus our Lord is the guardian of our soul and will never give up on us. Never. No matter how hard I try, I cannot, and neither can you, be all that God wants me to be. No matter how hard I try, even at the end of the day, when I say my prayers, I am not blameless. No matter how hard I try. No matter how hard I try, I cannot, and neither can you, keep from disappointing God with my actions, my words, my thoughts. But I have a guardian of my soul that will not give up on me. The Holy Spirit is constantly whispering in our ears and in our hearts for us to do the right thing. We either don't listen or we don't hear. Mostly, we don't pay attention to what is being whispered to us because we are so arrogant that we think we know it all. I had dinner with my 18-year-old granddaughter Friday night, and she told me how wrong I was about most everything we talked about. She's a beautiful young woman. Her boyfriend joined us. His face turned red once or twice when she was talking to me about how wrong I was. And I said, do you think she's right? And he sort of put both hands up and his eyes got big. And I said, you're very smart. We had a pleasant dinner. And when we finished, it was at the Irish pub in Covington. And they had ordered appetizers and it was great. It was $50-some, and I was glad to spend it. It was a fun time. And when we finished, she said, I want a milkshake. I said, well, let's go to Scoops and get a $10 one instead of the Dairy Queen and get a $3 one. She said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And so we went up the street, and we had milkshakes and ice cream and whatever else they wanted. I said, now tell me again how wrong I am. I got the money. I got the job. I go to work. That's why you got to go out to eat. And you got the $10 milkshake. Now, if I'm really wrong, I'm going to swap places with you, and you go to work tomorrow, and you buy my supper. And I looked at the boyfriend, and I said, right? And he said, that's what I'm talking about. We are so arrogant that we take this Bible that is complex and that we have to struggle to understand, and we twist it and turn it and massage it until we get it to say what we want it to say, instead of what it really, really says. And somehow, the guardian of our soul is able to sneak in when we're not looking and say, wrong again. Wrong again. I'm so simple-minded. I'm not very smart. I'm really not. That I pray every day of my life, tell me so I can understand. I was talking to my grandson, Canaan, one day, and he was telling me why he did something he did, because it was just to keep peace. And I said, peace at all cost is no peace at all. And he said, tell me where I can understand it. Tell me in different words. And I said, you give a mouse a cookie, he'll want a glass of milk. He said, I got it. And he did. And he's remembered that all his life. I'm not very smart. And so I asked God, like Canaan asked me, help me understand this. And he answers the way he almost always does. He said, you love me first before anything else, and then you love everybody else second. And if you'll do those two things, you'll be all right. And I said, I got it. And I do. I just don't always do it. But I try. And I believe that the guardian of my soul helps me to understand. And I believe the guardian of my soul helps me because I know he will never give up on me. Now, don't misunderstand. We like movies that are fictitious with enemies that are fictitious. And we root for the winner when the winner is the good guy. But let me tell you, there are real enemies in our lives. They are as real as anything you have ever seen. Greed, selfishness, prejudice, hate, revenge. All are monsters that are knocking at our doors. And we have a guardian of our souls that will defeat them every time if only we will listen to the Holy Spirit whispering to us. If we sin, we sin because we want to. If we sin, we have to take responsibility for it. If we sin, it is our choice to do so. So my prayer this morning for Gray, for his brother Jack, for his parents and his grandparents, my prayer this morning for all of you and for all of you and for me, is that the guardian will continue to guard our souls and that we, you and me, will go in grace and love, and we will keep on trying. Amen.